A reading from the book of Sirach. The Lord is a God of justice, who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. The word of the Lord.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise of him is always in my mouth. In the Lord my soul shall make its boast. The humble shall hear and be glad. The Lord hears the cry of the The Lord turns his face against the wicked to destroy their remembrance from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears and rescues them in all their distress. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Those whose spirit is crushed, he will save. The Lord ransoms the souls of his servants. All who trust in him shall not be condemned. The Lord hears the cry of the
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, and entrusting to us the message of salvation. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity. Greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood up at a distance and would not raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Before I begin my homily, I want to share something with you that I think you should all know, that a couple of weeks ago, we had people visiting our church, our parish, and they're Brazilian. And they were looking for another church. They were going to go to another church, and I won't say where. But I will say this, that whoever greeted them and was very friendly to them, they said, you know, we had such a nice reception here in your church and your parish that we decided to stay. So whoever did that, whoever was an ambassador of welcome, I think, you know, that everybody needs to do that, and that we need, you know, because we're downtown, we need to be a welcoming parish. And so I commend whoever reached out to them and was very friendly and very welcoming to them. So, you know, always do that. If you see someone that you don't know or whatever, they, you know, we have a lot of visitors that pass through here. I had this morning, I had Indian couple. They were Indian, and they were from Phoenix, Arizona, and he was here for a conference, and they decided to attend Mass at the Basilica. So always, you know, be that ambassador of welcome. I want to share with you as a little bit of a springboard into my homily. I received this Father Ovi Marginian, who's the rector of St. George Romanian Cathedral here in town, one of the many St. Georges, but he's at the Romanian Byzantine Catholic Cathedral. He sends me his bulletin, and a couple bulletins ago, he had this in his bulletin, and I just want to share this with you. Why I like so much Eastern things, and you know, that's really a part of my priesthood so much. And every once in a while, when you read something about an individual, you'll read something that, like, when heaven touches the earth in this particular individual. And I want to share this. His name is His Beatitude Lucian Cardinal Mauritian. He was a major archbishop of the Romanian Greek Catholic Church. He was born on May 23rd, 1931, and he grew up into a large and devout Greek Catholic family. And from his youth, he felt the call to serve Christ and his church, even under persecution and hardship. Those are the words that got me right there. Even under persecution and hardship. When the communist regime came into power, the Romanian Greek Catholic Church was suppressed, as was where the Byzantine Church that I came from in Slovakia around 1948 was the same. And so the path of the priesthood was closed to him. Nevertheless, though, in the 1950s, he pursued theological formation and clandestinely, often under the cover of secular labor. He was among those who exceptionally was admitted to the Latin Rite Theological Institute in Alba Iulia. I love to say that name of that, Alba Iulia. And was later expelled and placed under surveillance. On December 19th, 1964, he was secretly ordained a priest by Bishop Jan Dragomir in the basement of a building, hidden from the eyes of the secret agents of the communist regime. And he ministered in hiding, dedicating himself especially to youth, those discerning vocations and the sustenance of faith in the secret communities. So he for a long time practiced his ministry in secret. For decades, he lived a double life, doing manual labor in quarries and on the road repairing bridges and in the shadows, tending to the spiritual needs of the faithful. And with the fall of communism and the restoration of religious freedom in 1989, the Greek Catholic Church could reemerge from the shadows and from the catacombs. And so he was shortly after named a bishop by Pope John Paul. And then by 1990, was named the major archbishop, and Pope Benedict created in Romania a major archbishop that's almost like being a patriarchal church. Now, throughout his leadership, he guided the church through delicate years of rebuilding, reclaiming churches, restoring institutions, fostering vocations, and knitting back the fabric of the community. His life was a witness to fidelity, patience, humility, and again, boldness in suffering. Boldness in suffering. And he passed away on September 25th at the age of 94. You know, and so we can say with him in his life, well done, faithful servant. And why do I think that that's important for you to know? Just, you know, he was a cardinal in our church, but his great witness. And so in the gospel today, we know that Jesus plays no favorites. Jesus draws a blunt picture in today's gospel. The Pharisee's prayer is almost a parody of the Thanksgiving Psalms. Instead of praising God for his mighty works, and this is what happens to him, the Pharisee congratulates himself for his own deeds, which he presents to God in some detail. Now the tax collector, though, stands at a distance. And he's too ashamed even to raise his eyes to God. He prays with a humble and contrite heart. He knows that before God, no one is righteous. No one has cause to boast. We see in today's liturgy the number of themes the Scripture's abiding themes, that God knows and plays no favorites, as today's reading from Paul, or today's reading from Chronicles tells us, and Paul also tells us the same in Acts today. We know that God cannot be bribed. So when we are dealing with politicians, you know, that is, you know, when we say the Pharisee is there praying, we might as well say a politician. Because, you know, the politicians today, too, they say how wonderful they are and everything else. And, you know, but I don't want to go that way. You know, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. That's for another time. We cannot curry favor with God or impress him. Even with our good deeds and our faithful observances of religious duties, of tithing and fasting. So what does that mean? God already knows when we come to church, God already knows what we're going to pray about. You know, he knows what we're going to ask him about. You know, so God knows what we need. So, you know, if we're struggling with our faith, as many of us are today, not only me, but when I hear confessions, I hear the struggles of so many people, and not only parishioners. They come to me because they probably figured out the city is pretty safe, you know, and that they probably figured out that I'm a pretty easy confessor. You know, I heard a parishioner outside. You know, people are in line and they're going to confession, and this one older lady comes in, and I heard a parishioner say, you know, a quiet whisper, but he was not whispering. You know, he goes, "Don't worry, you'll be in and out rather quickly." But to the older parishioners, it's usually just like an Our Father or a Hail Mary or whatever. But to young people and like who like to do the scriptures and stuff, I always like to give a psalm to pray. Usually Psalm 32, Psalm 42, or Psalm 50/51. Because they all have to do with God's mercy. See, if we try to exalt ourselves before the Lord, as this Pharisee does, we will be brought low. What does that mean? It means to us, it's a warning to us, that we should not take pride in our piety. God knows what we're praying about. We shouldn't be prideful about what we're praying about. Not to slip into self-righteousness, thinking that we're better than others. And that was happened with the Pharisee. Oh, look at that poor slob over there. You know, he won't even, you know, and I'm doing all of this. No. Thank God I'm not like the rest of sinful humanity. And he goes on and on and on. But we learn, though, from the scriptures today and this week, if we clothe ourselves with humility, if we recognize that all of us are sinners in need of his mercy, we will be exalted. The prayers of the humble pierces the clouds. The prayers of the humble pierces the clouds. Paul testifies to this in today's epistle as he's thanking the Lord for giving him strength during his imprisonment. See these here? These are called prayer beads. In Russian, they call them the chutki beads. They're the same thing. They're almost like the same like a rosary. Okay, but the Byzantines use them, the Greek Catholics, the Orthodox use them, and other Eastern religions use them. But when we use this for prayer, and you can do this is the same with the rosary. You can use your rosary the same. From the scripture today, the Jesus prayer is that one line of scripture today. Oh Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the prayer. And you just keep praying it, and you keep praying it. A lot of times the bishops and the priests, they'll wear their chutki like this. Because you know what? If you keep praying that prayer, oh, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You keep praying it, and you pray it throughout the day. Things will happen to you. Things will change. You know, Paul tells us what the psalmist sings today, that the Lord redeems the life of his humble servants, that the Lord hears the cry of the poor. And we too must serve Christ willingly, and Christ will hear the prayers of our distress. Christ will deliver us from evil. And Christ will lead us safely into his kingdom. God bless you.